If you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and be turning to Hebrews chapter 11. And before we get into the message, and for those who may be tuning in on sermon audio or YouTube, I would invite you to our regular services. We do meet Sunday morning. This is a Sunday morning service that you're watching recorded. Sunday morning, 10 a.m. and 11 a.m. And then Wednesday night at 7 o'clock in the evening. So come be with us if you're in the area, Hortense or Popwellville, Georgia. And we'd love to see you. Hebrews chapter 11. And we will take as our text verses 24 through 26. The title of my message today is The Choice of Moses. The Choice of Moses. Hebrews 11, beginning verse 24, says, "By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward." We often don't talk much about choice. In a Sovereign Grace Baptist church, oftentimes we let the Arminians rob us of the word as they have taken it and used it in a way that I don't believe the Bible teaches. But the fact is that we are not robots or puppets on a string, but we all have choices that we make as people. And even this morning, you had choices to make, didn't you? This morning, you or I could have chosen to do about 1,000 different other things than to come here and be in church. I don't know about you, but my bed felt awful comfortable this morning. In fact, to be honest with you, I kind of overslept a little bit. I'm human just the same as anybody else. And I got up early and I thought, well, I'll close my eyes for just a few minutes. And then a few minutes turned into a long time. And I woke up and I said, oh no, it's late. But you know, there's a lot of people who chose to stay in bed because it's Sunday morning. There's other people who choose to go off to the beach or to go up to the mountains or to go to work or to do other things, go shopping. There's all sorts of things that we could have chosen to do besides coming to church. But you're here, and I'm here, and I thank God for that. Thank you for the choice that you made to come to church. You had the choice, and the choice to listen to the preaching of God's Word, and the choice to follow along. And I thank God for the sound of the, I'm just gonna tell you, I'm thankful for the sound of the pages of the Bible being turned when I'm up here preaching. I believe that's a good thing. You know, I realize we live in an age of electronics, and some people use their phones and their computers and, you know, their tablets. And so maybe you've got one of those and you're following along that way. But to hear the pages of the turning of the Bible, that's music to the preacher's ears. That means people are listening, following along. And I thank the Lord for that. But you've got a choice to listen and to follow along, don't you? You got a choice to tithe or not. You've got a choice to sing with the congregation or not. And I thank the Lord for all of those choices that this church makes. I believe the Lord blesses when we make the right choices. When it comes from the heart, God loves the cheerful giver. Whether it's the songs that we sing, whether it's the money we put in a box, whatever it is. But look at Moses. Look at Moses. And as we look at Moses, consider your own life. Verse 24 says, By faith, Moses. What is faith? Well, Hebrews chapter 11 is kind of the roll call of faith, isn't it? There's much in here about faith. I love this chapter. Brother Fred Halliman wrote to me years ago when I first was called to preach, and 1996, and he said, spend a lot of time in Hebrews 11, and when you have been convinced of the reality of that chapter, put it into practice. You see, that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to be hearers of the Word, but not hearers only, doers also, aren't we? We're supposed to be doers of the Word. And these aren't just stories put down here on paper so that we can go and we can read them and then close the book and say, well, that's a good story. We have to put these things into practice. Apply them to our lives. What is faith? Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's the definition of faith given here by the writer of Hebrews. It's more than just a feeling, more than a shot in the dark. Makes spiritual things as real as physical things. It's substance, and it is the evidence. Faith is the firm persuasion of the truth that what God has promised, He will perform. It is the belief that whatever the Bible says is true, it is true, whether it's past or future. You go down through there, you read a lot about faith, and you read a lot about men and women. I like to write in my margins. This Bible that I'm using right now is a relatively new Bible, but one of the things I've written in this one is their story is complete. So you go through there and you read, by faith Abel, by faith Enoch, by faith Noah, by faith Abraham, by faith Sarah, by faith Jacob, by faith Joseph, and so on. In the margin down there at the bottom, I've got, their story is complete. But what about me? By faith, David. Lord, help me. What about you? Your life story will someday be told. It won't be written in this book. This book is complete. My life story will be told. It won't be written here. Written revelation's done. It won't be written in the Bible. It might be written somewhere. Wouldn't that be something if somebody wrote a biography about you or about me? Might be exciting, might be scary, depending on how your life is. But regardless, we know that there's a record of your life. It's a record of my life. God knows everything about us. He knows everything about you. He knows everything about me. How will our life story be when it's all said and done? You say, well, what? I've done so much. I've made so many mistakes. I don't know. But you go down and you read these men and these women and you realize, hey, these guys weren't exactly perfect either. But praise God, they were used of the Lord. Because when it mattered most, they made some good choices. And as I was reading here the other day, I thought about Moses. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, you know what that means? That means when he became a mature adult, when he had grown up. Now, I know there's a lot of difference of opinion of when that is. I know some individuals in this room who think that's about 18. But not so much. Yeah, the world may say, well, that's an adult. But you still have some learning to do, don't you? Stephen was a little bit more direct and to the point in Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7 and verse 22. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and in deeds. Verse 23. And when he was full 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. He was about 40 years old. He was about my age. You know, some people mature quicker than others, some later than others. But the fact is that for Moses, his time, when he was come to years, when he was growed up, when he was ready, it was about when he was 40 years old. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He was at a crossroads in his life. And perhaps many of us have gotten to that point as well. We all have choices to be made in our lives. Some big, some small. But they all add up, don't they? You see, Moses was a Hebrew, but he had been raised in Pharaoh's household. He was raised as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Perhaps you know the story, but just to refresh your memory, go with me to Exodus chapter 2. Exodus chapter 2. Begin at verse 1. I love this. Verse 1. And there went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. When she saw him that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. When she could not longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes, daubed it with slime and with pitch, put the child therein. She laid it in the flags by the river's bank. His sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river. And her maidens walked along by the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. When she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrew's children." Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?" Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, "Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages." And the woman took the child and nursed it. The child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses, and said, "Because I drew him out of the water." You see, there was a problem. Pharaoh was going to kill all the little baby boys. But Moses' mother, his real mother, said, "No, I don't want this baby to die." And so she hid him and Pharaoh's daughter ended up with Moses. And raised him up in the household of Pharaoh. Meaning that Moses was raised as an Egyptian. Moses was raised in the best schools with the wisdom of the Egyptians. That perhaps Moses could have grown up to be a Pharaoh. You see what I'm saying? He had been rich with the world's goods. When we think of Egyptian riches, oftentimes we think of the things that we find, or that has been found. I've never found it. But in the tombs of the Egyptians, the Egyptian royalty, the things that were found, like in King Tut's tombs and those sorts of things. Moses would have been around that sort of thing all the time. He knew what the power and the pleasures. He knew what the treasures of Egypt were like. He said, "Y'all can have that." He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. He knew what the pleasures of sin were like. He knew what the treasures of Egypt were like. He knew what their value were. But in his choice, he sought greater riches than those things. He knew. He knew he had something more valuable in Christ. He knew that there's lasting treasure to be found in Jesus. Oh, listen. We live in a country where we are oftentimes consumed with things we've never seen. And so we chase. We spend our lives looking for what Moses had and he gave up. We chase after this world's treasures. We call it the American dream. We say if we could just have more money, a bigger house, a better car. Moses had it all. He said, "It ain't worth it. It ain't worth it." And in this country, oh, how we've forgotten God. Last night I had the privilege of listening to an old sermon by Brother Reggie. He preached a message from another Old Testament saint of God. He preached about Lot. Lot had choices too. Brother Reggie's sermon was, "He got what he wanted but lost all he had." I posted it on to sermon audio. Go back and listen to that. Both were men of God. Both had choices. You see, both men are recorded in the Scriptures as an example to us. One as a good example, and one is a bad example. Moses had all of that. I know some Christians who would look down on Moses and say, "You're a fool." I know some people, some church people who say, "You're crazy. What are you doing? Giving up all of that money, all of that power, all of that schooling to suffer with the people of God." But God put him here in Hebrews as an example to us. You see, I believe the example is this. There are greater treasures in this world than what money can buy. There are greater treasures to be found than what Egypt has to offer. As we watch the value of the dollar fall, the value of everything in this world that we've worked for come crumbling down, the price of everything has gone up. And it's hard to get by. The only thing that you can get cheap right now is stocks. And that ain't a good thing. I mean, it's rough. It's rough right now. We're all just barely getting by, it seems like. But you know what doesn't decrease in value? It's Jesus. Jesus. Get your priorities straight. How is it with you? What do you think is your most prized possession right now? What is it that you're thinking of every day? The pleasures of this world, they're not going to last. Your job, the money in the bank, your 401k. Better get your priorities straight. There are decisions to make as the people of God. We are in a point at a crossroads in this country, I believe. There are some soft decisions to make. What I mean by that, you make a decision for the Lord now, and most likely you'll be inconvenienced. You won't be sent to jail or killed for the faith. But that time may come. That time may come. We were having a Bible study discussion at home, and we were talking about the martyrs and talking about how great of a faith that they had, and how could they go through those things, and what was their preparation for that? And I believe their preparation for that was the fact that they were living for the Lord. They were ready to die for the Lord. And so you won't be ready to die for the Lord if you're not living for the Lord now. Moses was not raised in a godly home, but look at the things he did. You see, he had no better advantage than his Hebrew brethren. Look at this now. Think about this for a moment. Some of his Hebrew brethren had been raised as Hebrews. And what happened with them? Many of them murmured and complained and died. Because what were they doing? They were wanting to go back to Egypt to be slaves rather than to serve the Lord. Moses said, "What's wrong with you people? We need to keep going forward." I read about Moses and the things that he went through and what he gave up to lead them out of Egypt and through the wilderness and all. And my goodness, that was tough. Why'd he do it? Why'd he do it? Well, right here it tells. He did it for the Lord. He did it for the Lord. You and I, we may not get to the point where we're leading some great big group of people and all of that. We may not be a Moses. where we may have some work to do, whatever it is. Whatever choice we have in this life, let us do it for the Lord. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater treasures than the treasure in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Are you, am I, proper servant of the Lord in this world? There are decisions to be made. We don't know how long we've got. Moses had some time. He had about another 40 years. Once he started on his journey with those folks on the promise, leading them out of Egypt. You and I, we don't know how long we've got. But there are decisions to be made. The time is now. The time is now. By faith, Moses. By faith, David. By faith, you. May God help us. May God help us. By His grace, we will. Thank you for your attention, and trust it is a blessing.